So we've got this force plate in the floor, this force plate, if you like, propped up against something to hit with Muay Thai pads on, and we built this sort of video, 3D video analysis of the people. And we want to look at whether the way that, you know, people moved, what they did, the speed of particular things, whether there was any relationships between those and power output.
Fighters, welcome back to another episode of Heatrick Muay Thai Performance.
It's something I've always wanted to do, to be honest. So it was waiting until we got the kit. So I tried previously when we had, I mean, I've had a number of ties through Pimu really stay. So Duo, Kongodom, Thailand, Pintin Chai, and many others that have stayed, lived with me, slept under my desk at Newman University because of jet lag. And we got the resources we had at the time. We tried to do what we could. So I remember sort of attaching electrodes to Duo's calf and thigh muscle and having it attached and wrapping a pad around this, and it kicked off the sort of chair we were on, really just sort of trying to work out what had happened. And I thought as soon as we can actually get some really good biomechanical equipment, one thing I really want to do is look at the biomechanics. I guess the initial findings, and these are very provisional as you mentioned, certainly not enough data to find out, but from this I guess the initial stuff we did sort of previous, so some loose analysis for a lad, Matt Yule, who did it as part of his master's project. We've collected data since on top of that, but sort of is that those findings are sort of held a little bit so far, provisional findings, in terms of there's what's called an interaction between the speed of a technique and the how much your body turns in, say, a kick. So if you take a kick, for example, at very high speeds, impact's good, so really, really high speeds, impact's good. A speed's not so fast, it's more important to turn the body, and it was turning the body, the shoulder, hip, impact point together. So the time between joints or positions, markers was important in that. So it tends to suggest that particularly at slightly less speeds, you need to turn more. And that seems to be intuitive, reasonably intuitive at least, the fact that sometimes you can, I don't know, very short contact time, very, very quick kick that doesn't turn the body but can knock the breath out of you and take the breath of somebody away if it's caught quite quickly. And other times it's a sort of penetrating kick where the body's turned and it's a different effect, moves the fighter. So you've got different impacts, potentially different effects on the fighter, but that's got to be confirmed. But that sort of initial finding seems to be reasonable, and at least seems to be sensible for those that coach it and watch the sport and are involved in the sport. Obviously, body weight plays a role in this as well as speed. So we control for body weight in terms of the output. So rather than raw newtons in terms of force, it was we in terms of body times body weight. So how many times body weight do people strike? And we did get some interesting results in terms of the maximum. And this might still be a little bit false, because when you both, this is a fixed pad and not moving, so not a moving time, but also it's not moving towards you. So it could be actually some of these two forces are increased. But we had one of the fighters from our gym actually, who hasn't not fought that much, who actually kicked 14 times his own body weight. So it's a huge force, very light fighter, but very, you know, he generated. Whether it was a bit, again, of course, it's a bit sometimes, it's when you're really delivering these techniques, it's not like a javelin throw where it's a one-off single effort, you know, and so mindful, really, we want to look at, you know, can they return to a balanced stance, can they do something afterwards, you know, so we're mindful of the sort of extreme scores where somebody's just giving it everything they've got. Saying that, though, we found that really relaxing people tended to, so not trying too hard, tended to result in people hitting harder, because the people did several times, they didn't just a one-off go, they were doing it several, you know, a number of times, each of the techniques a number of times. And when they tried too hard, the power went down. So it was relaxing. And that, again, makes sense biomechanically to get the speed transfer. You know, it seems to be sensible. But they are provisional, and I don't want to say the reason. Definitely things I want to put out there until we've collected more data.
Yes, yeah. I'm aware that I don't want to push for anything. You're like, no, we haven't even kind of put this together properly yet. I've just got information. That bit about relaxing, I find is crucial. And I know I mentioned it to you last time we were kind of chatting together, but on the strength and conditioning side, I find that when I'm overloading people with external resistance, with the sort of power movements, so either Olympic lifting variants or even kettlebell swings and sort of squat jumps and all this kind of stuff, it, because of the overload, it helps the fighter appreciate the difference between the tension and the relaxation of it. And you either, especially if it's something like an Olympic lift where you've got to get it into a sort of racked position somewhere, either overhead or at the shoulders, you either hit it or you miss it with the given load that's consistent. So it's only your performance that's varying there. And yeah, you can feel the ones you really try, right, I'm going to force this, don't fly. And then the ones where you just relax on it and you work the accelerators, the brakes don't come on and the thing just flies and it feels effortless. And that feeling, I think, is a little bit more obvious when you've got external resistance like that, but you do feel it when you throw a good strike as well, whether it's a punch or a kick, and it's the ones you kind of relax and just fly at it and you just feel it pops. That relaxation part is as crucial, isn't it? Otherwise you are driving with the handbrake on.
Absolutely. I think that's a good analogy, driving with the handbrake on. It's tensing, it's over-tensing the inappropriate muscles, and it's about really, yeah, so it's often in coaching, don't try as hard, you know, really it's about sort of relax. But also, so it's knowing what it feels like. So I find it quite useful sometimes to grab the person's leg, say, look, yeah, lean against the ring, give me your leg, let's shake you, you know, let's twist your leg, let's see how relaxed it needs to be. You know, this is how it should feel. And it's because, I don't know whether it's a Western thing, I'm not sure. The Thais are relaxed, but maybe that's because they've just got, you know, they're seeing it all the time and, you know, they're always seen very relaxed. That was one thing that was a stark contrast for me when I first went to Thailand, is how relaxed and fluid and you know, how sort of, it seems so natural. Obviously, never natural, they've learned it, but it's, you know, it seemed very relaxed and fluid. And that was one sharp contrast to the UK, you know, where I'd seen people, and certainly to my own experience in martial arts, karate, which was very tense, even though that probably was a bit of a different view of it, a westernized view of a system that might not have been the same in Japan.
True, yes.
I don't know. But I think that relaxation and knowing how it feels, I think there's an idea in the West that tension, strength, you know, that being tense and aggressive makes you stronger. I think that's, as you said, that's not the case in lots of things, whether that's sprinting, whether it's, you know, whether it's Olympic lifting or whether it's kicking and punching and kneeing and grappling, actually, strangely enough, as well.
Yes.
So grappling, it might seem like, you know, being rigid and tense must be the right thing to do. But actually, again, if you watch some very good Thai clinchers, you'll see them very relaxed and appropriate, as well as a lot of skill involved, appropriate pull and pushing and appropriate tension.
Thanks for listening. If you found this valuable, please like, subscribe, and share with someone else it could help too. Please give the podcast a review or comment below. We'd love to hear from you. As always, you can visit Heatrick.com for more Muay Thai performance podcasts, videos, articles, and guides. Catch you next time.